رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 138. سبغة الله ومن أحسن من الله سبغة ونحن له عابدون. This is the سبغة of Allah, and who is better in سبغة than Allah, and him do we worship. I did not translate سبغة because people have translated it in different ways, and inshallah shortly will explain what سبغة has been translated into by different, have been interpreted by different interpreters of the Quran. Now, the previous verses talked about the pure faith and pure religion. That's who has a pure faith, the one who submits to Allah, the one who believes in all the prophets and messengers, the one who would not distinguish between any of them, would not believe in part of them and rejecting other part. And then it says, this is Sabghatullah. Now, Sabghatullah, Sabgha means color. And therefore, most of the translators have translated it as the coloring of Allah. This is how Allah colors people. Of course, it's not literal color. It is something which appears on the in the faith of people. This is the color of the faith of people, which has been actually given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, many early exegetes have translated, have interpreted Sabgha as religion. This is religion of Allah. And who is better than Allah to give religion rather than people make it and then say that you have to follow it. Or people, by the passage of time, the religion of God evolves into something quite different from it. Sheikh Tusi rahmatullah alayhi and some other early exegetes say that Sibghatullah means Fitratullah. The same thing as we have in Surah Rum. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This religion, this type of worship, is how human being has been created for. He's configured in this way to worship Allah and him alone. This is the fitrah that Allah has given to human beings. However, many early and later exegetes have given a different meaning to it, based on the way the Christians and sometimes Jews used to baptize their children with a yellow water. I don't know nowadays they do this or not with yellow water, but in old days they used to do it with yellow water. And because the Christians were saying that when a child is born, we baptize him or her, and by this baptism they become pure. And then by this baptism, they become Christians as well. So we do two things. First of all, we actually give them this Christian faith by baptism. And secondly, we purify them. Now, if we take Sabghatullah as this type of coloring, that Allah has baptized you in this way, means that you don't need to be baptized by water. You have to be baptized by the type of your faith. So this faith, this type of belief is baptism of Allah, which is not done by water, but is done by the way you worship God, by the way you submit to him. And who can baptize anyone better? And also it alludes to another fact that this baptism cannot be done when the baby is born, at childhood. This baptism is only possible when people grow up and they decide and they choose to follow this faith, and then they are baptized by this faith. So, Sheikh Tabrasi rahmatullah alay says that this is certainly something which is alluding to the baptism of the Christians when they were actually baptizing them in water. And Allah says that that is not something that purifies anyone or gives faith to anyone. You cannot make someone Christian by baptizing them into water. Of course, it may be just a sort of signal or something, a sort of token to show, but it is not something real. What is real is when you submit like this to Allah. So this is the baptism, based on this interpretation, this is the baptism that Allah is making for you, and who better than Allah can baptize you through this faith. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ means that we follow this sort of baptism. We follow this kind of faith, and we do not follow any other type of faith, because the previous verses were talking about وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تَهْتَدُوا. You either have to be Jew or you have to be Christian. The verses, we don't need to. We only need to worship God in a pure way. And worshiping God in a pure way is our religion, is our baptism, is our sabra, is our color, whatever it means. And therefore, we are on this faith. And then the following verse is a continuation of that, of the previous verses. 139. قُلْ أَتُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ. Say, will you argue with us concerning Allah while He is our Lord and your Lord? And our deeds belong to us, and your deeds belong to you, and we worship Him dedicatedly. نَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ. Ikhlas is when someone worships Allah with dedication, when someone does not actually mix any other type of worship with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called ikhlas. So, what is our faith? Our faith is to be mukhlis for Allah, is to be purely dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, you are arguing with us about God. What type of argument? Of course, they were not arguing about the existence of God. They were not arguing about the description of God. What they were arguing was that God would not give this revelation, which comes from the heaven, to anyone but Christians and Jews. And especially the Jews believed that the revelation should only come to the children of Ya'qub alayhi salam. So it is not possible to give it to someone else. Now, the argument is here like this. You are arguing regarding God's revelation. قُلْ أَتُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ. Now, we tell you something very straightforward. He is our Lord and your Lord. وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ. Now, how comes? He is the Lord of everyone, but He only gives revelation to a certain group of people. It's not possible. He is your Lord, He is our Lord. If He gives revelation to you, it's possible that He gives revelation to us as well. And, of course, how we are judged is not whether we are Christian or Jew or Muslim or whatever. We are judged based on our actions. وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Our actions belong to us, your actions belong to you. Now, you are arguing that regardless of our actions, regardless of the fact that everyone is cherished, sustained, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives us revelation and wouldn't give anyone else. قُلْ أَتُحَاجُونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ وَلَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. So in Tafsir al-Safi, he mentions, Faiz Kashani rahmatullah alayh, mentions that your argument that al-anbiya kulluhum minna, that all the prophets should be from us, from children of Israel, is something which would not be reasonable, because He is our Lord, your Lord, we are judged by our actions. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُخْلِصُونَ means that although we dedicate ourselves to Him, although we are so, we are worshipping Him purely and none else, you say that He would not reveal revelation to anyone but to us, despite whatever we do. So this is not logical. Or another argument in the following verse. So this verse is a very logical argument, a very general argument. God is the Lord of everyone. He can give a revelation to anyone. People are judged based on their actions, not on the these definitions that they gave to themselves as Jew, Christian, Muslim. Or you say that only Jews would receive revelation. What about people who live before Judaism? What about them? أَمْ تَقُولُونَ أَنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَائِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطَ كَانُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Now you say you either should be Jew or Christian to prosper, to be accepted by Allah. What about those who lived before these faiths, like Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Ya'qub? Because Judaism have come through Musa alayhi salam. If you say you only need to be Jew or Christian, what about these people? We talked about Asbat last week. Do you say that Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub and Asbat, they were Jews or Christians? قُلْ أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهِ. Now, if they say no, they were Christians and Jews as well, but they lived before us, say, do you know better or Allah? Because Allah is revealing these things to us, that they were living before this faith, your faith, crystallized. And also, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Who is a greater wrongdoer than him who conceals a testimony that is with him from Allah? Now, this testimony, which was with Jews, with the Jews, was that at the end of the time, revelation comes to a descendant of Ismail alayhi salam. This is what they had in their books, and they had this testimony in their books, but they were concealing it. So he says, now you claim that you are Jews, okay, you claim that you receive revelation, however, you are concealing part of your book. How come you regard yourselves to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The other explanation which is given to man adlamu mimman katama shahadatan indahu min Allah means that in their books, because we don't know what books they were reading, it's very important that we do not, when we talked about Torah and Injil here in the Quran, we should not actually assume that Torah and Injil, which was read at the time by Arabs, by Arab tribes, was exactly similar to these books which are now included in Torah and Injil. So we know for sure that there were certain groups of, certain tribes of Arabs, in terms of Christians whose faith was different from today's Christianity. Like, for example, they believed that Maryam was also a god, or one of the three gods. So, and the Quran alludes to that. It says that in your books you had, that at the end of the time here in Medina, revelation comes to someone from the children of Ismail. And also in their books was that Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, and Ya'qub, based on another interpretation, they were Hunafa. They were not Jew or Christian. And how could have they been Jew or Christian when Judaism and Christianity was formed after them? فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَتَمَ شَهَادَةً إِنْدَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. A shahada which is from God with them, they conceal it. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ أَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Of course, Allah is watching whatever you're doing. He is not oblivious what you do. Now, suppose all that we said is wrong. You are not, you do not agree with us. You say that Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq, Ya'qub, they were Jews and whatever. However, this is the past nation. What are you doing now? تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. These were a people who have passed. And their achievement is for them. What you do remains for you. And you are not going to ask about what they were doing, and they are not going to be asked about what you are doing. And therefore, this whole issue of who was Christian, who was Jew, is a futile discussion. Verse 142, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ The foolish among the people will say, what has turned them away from the Qibla they were following? Say, to Allah belong the east and the west. He guides whomever he wishes to a straight path. From here up to 11 verses, this verse and 10 following verses talks about the change of Qibla. And how it is related to the previous verses is because all the previous verses were actually a preparation for coming to this stage of discussion that why Qibla is changed. You remember I said Ibrahim, the verses said that Ibrahim built the house and he said Rabbana waj'al wab'ath fihim rasulan and also waj'alna muslimayn lak wa min dhurriyyatina ummatan muslimatan lak. All these du'as and everything, it was actually giving the some importance to Kaaba, mentioning how holy Kaaba was. It's all preparation for coming to this point of discussion about the change of Qibla. سَيَقُولُ سُفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ The foolish among the people would say. Apparently, when the Qibla was changed, lots and lots of arguments, theological discussions, political discussions, social discussions were raised. And who raised these is not mentioned here. It just says foolish among the people. So far, Safi is the opposite of Hakim. Hakim is someone who has wisdom, who talks and acts based on reason and wisdom. Safi is someone who talks and acts not based on any reason, just based on foolishness. So who are these people? It doesn't mention clearly, case by case, just somehow adds them up into one category as sufaha. However, the exegetes have mentioned that three groups of people may be included in this sufaha. And some have said one group are meant, others have said all of them are meant. So Ibn Abbas and Bara Ibn Azib, they say that these are the Jews. It was because the main arguments were with the Jews, and because Baytul Muqaddas, which was originally the Qibla of Muslimin, it was a Qibla of Jews as well. So turning the Qibla away from Baytul Muqaddas was something very important for Muslims to somehow distinguish themselves from the Jews in this respect, and also something which the Jews would regard a sort of a move against themselves, why you have changed your Qibla. And you can imagine, in such cases, when such a big move happens, how people can criticize very easily that you were up till now, before coming to Medina, before being familiar with us, before having these sort of discussions with us, you were following our Qibla, now you suddenly change your Qibla to Mecca. How come? So, why? The Jews say, why you turned your Qibla from Baytul Muqaddas to Mecca? Hassan al-Basri and some others say that these were the mushriks of Mecca, actually, mushrik al-Arab. After they heard that Prophet has changed the Qibla, they started to laugh at him, that while he was here in Mecca, he was praying towards Baytul Muqaddas, not towards Kaaba. Now that he has gone there, he has changed his Qibla towards Mecca, now doesn't pray towards Baytul Muqaddas. So these were another group of people who could have actually have a strong criticism. And the other group of people which are included in this sufaha were the munafiqun, the hypocrites, who did not believe in Islam at all, but they showed faith because of their social status. And now they have a good reason to criticize very logically. That's why this happened. What sort of God is this? Cannot decide which side we have to pray. And in the middle of the prayer, suddenly God changes his mind. That up till now you were praying towards Baitul Muqaddas. Now you have to turn back towards Kaaba. So hypocrites had a good point here as well. So we can actually say all these people are somehow summed up in this very short sentence, Sayaqulu as-sufaha'u minan nas, the foolish among the people would say that. And it's just mentioned by passing, but we can imagine what sort of, for a couple of months at least, what sort of arguments did go in Muslim community. Even some Muslims lost faith because of that, as we will mention later on, because of this change, saying that if God is omniscient, if he knows everything, why does he change his mind? Why this bada has happened for him to change the qibla? So, مَا وَلَّهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتُهُمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. Different discussions actually came up because of this change of qibla. One was a theological discussion about nasakh and bada, about how Allah can abrogate a ruling and how change of mind can happen to people. Sheikh Tusi in this under this verse has a long discussion about why bada is possible with the Sunni scholars. Had a long discussion with Sunni scholars, actually, why bada is possible, mentioning that bada is not change of mind for Allah, it's the change of time and place. And by change of time and place, the ruling would change. Now that Prophet has come to Medina and he has established the faith, he wants to have his own qibla, and also because, as we see later on, the importance of Mecca is more than the importance of Jerusalem, Baitul Muqaddas. Therefore, now is the time that Prophet should turn. So bada is not change of mind for Allah. And this is a very long discussion between Shias and Sunni, because Sunnis do not believe in bada, majority of them. And Shia believe in bada, that there can be change in situation, change even, for example, in decrees of Allah about an individual, about the society. And the main argument here is that the Sunni scholars say that Allah cannot change his mind because he's omniscient. He's not like a human being that knows something now, doesn't know something now, and later on he knows and changes his mind. However, what's the argument of Shia scholars here is that bada is not change of mind, it's change of situation. And when situation changes, of course, Allah should have a new decree, a new ruling for that situation. Now, so the first argument which came up, and this argument mainly, because this was a theological argument, mainly was put forward by the Jews, what made them to change their qibla? And this means nas, this means bada, and bada is not possible for Allah. The second group, the second argument, again reported by Ibn Abbas, is from Jews, that they said, Ya Muhammad, ma wallaka an qiblatik, irji' ilayha nattaba'ak wa nu'min. They said that, why did you change your qibla? We were just going to believe in you. You were following our qibla. You were praying towards Baitul Muqaddas. Now, you change your qibla again to Baitul Muqaddas. We believe in you again. Now, again, if you change, we believe in you. They wanted to test him and then to somehow deride him later on, saying that he changes his mind all the time. So this is a second type of people who made that argument. The third group the third argument was from Mushrik al-Arab, that this house was the house of Ibrahim. All the time we worshiped towards this house, we did tawaf towards this house, but Muhammad was not following it, was following Baitul Muqaddas. Now that he is there, he's following here. So what changed his decision? Now, Allah says that Of course, this was very, very difficult for many Muslims, especially the people of Medina always, always were inclined towards Baytul Muqaddas because they were not in Mecca. Although they used to come for Hajj, but they were not in Mecca. The Jews always prayed towards Baytul Muqaddas. They were very familiar with this type of worship, and they were inclined toward that. The Muhajirun who had come from Mecca, they were inclined towards Kaaba. And now, previously, the people of Medina were happy, and the people of Mecca were not happy. Now it was opposite. Now people of Mecca became happy, and people of Medina unhappy. Allah says this is a test for all of them to see what is their reason to follow. Is it because they like something they follow it, or because I say, because I ordain something that they follow? So وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولُ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَائِهِ. Another reason why this Qibla was changed. Now, of course, the change of Qibla was not because of this. However, Allah says that it is as if the only reason for this was that I wanted to test who follows the Prophet and who would stop following the Prophet and turns away from him because of this change. As I said, it was a very important matter. Nowadays, it's looks very easy for us. They just changed the Qibla. At that time, it was a very, very important matter. Like nowadays, for example, for us, this moon sighting is very important. Later on, people will say, well, that was a very easy matter. So it was a very important matter. It was a test for them to know who follows the Prophet and who turns over his heels. قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. Mashriq and Maghrib, east or west, belongs to Allah. He knows all the land belongs to him. And he tells you which direction to pray. It doesn't mean that because you have been praying to this direction up till now, you have to continue forever. And Sheikh Tusi here says something very interesting. He says that here is a refutation of those who say that Ardul Muqaddasa, Baytul Muqaddas, has priority to be a Qibla because all the Anbiya, many Anbiya are buried there. And Allah has actually honored and dignified this land. He says that Allah can honor and dignify any land. And even, it is not a right argument to say because prophets are buried here, we have to pray in this direction. Later on, of course, Allah mentions why Qibla is chosen. Again, it's not because prophets are buried there. It's not because, for example, Ibrahim has been there. It is for some other reason that Allah will mention later on. So, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Whatever hikmah and wisdom implies, Allah would order according to that, and if you follow it, of course, you are guided to Siratul Mustaqim. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ verse 143 أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولُ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَكَبِيرَةً إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Thus we have made you a middle nation, that you may be witnesses to the people, and that the messenger may be a witness to you. And we did not appoint the Qibla you were following, but that we may ascertain those who follow the messenger from those who turn back on their heels. It was indeed a hard thing. As I said, this was very, very difficult test for Muslimun and for non-Muslims. Indeed a hard thing except for those whom Allah has guided. And Allah would not let your prayers go to waste. Indeed, Allah is most kind and merciful to mankind. Now, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا is a very famous verse in the Quran, of course. And that's always we say that we are the middle nation or we are the pivotal nation or something like that. What's the relation of that here? We are talking about the change of Qibla. We are talking about the arguments here that why some people say why the Qibla changed. And suddenly he says, in this way we have made you a middle ummah, a pivotal nation, so that you are witnesses over the people and Rasul is your witness over you. And we didn't make the Qibla that you were before, except so that to know who will follow the messenger. First of all, there are a couple of discussions here. I leave this for next week because this is a very, very detailed discussion we have to do here. First of all, what is the meaning of Ummatan Wasata, the middle nation or the pivotal nation or the just nation? Some people say Wasat means just. Secondly, who is Ummatan Wasat? And thirdly, what is the relation of this sentence here to the flow of the context of this discussion? Inshallah, these are the questions that we will discuss next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Thank you, Marichini, the Sheikh. So about 15, 20 minutes to further the discussion or any questions or any clarification required. Brothers or sisters, anybody wants to make a start?
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Indeed, the change of Qibla is a subject in itself. And if possible, we'd like to not start the argument on that. So I'm just picking up on a couple of little things. When you said verse 138, the color of God, Sibqatullah. So how does that then compare to, I'm trying not to mix the Kaaba, but in the Kaaba there were idols at the time. So when God is talking about this to the Jews, Jews are worshipping a bigger deity in Bayt al-Muqaddas. Their Qibla is Jerusalem. So they're worshipping something bigger and more learned, for example, with a better system than anything they had in Mecca. Am I right? So when you say Sibqatullah, are they not confusing something? Say, what is the color of God? Is it with... So Muhammad is saying, this is the color of God, this is how God works. So he's about to give me the claim to prophethood and all that fame that's going to come, and the Jews are going to be sidelined. So coming from the Jews' point of view, he's telling them what the color of God is and how he works. So is that not laying down the law as opposed to negotiating?
Well, the way you describe the prophet, of course, is the way we usually discuss or argue things. That's I side on you, I come in place of you, I am better than you. This argument is not that. This argument says that put aside these sort of structures that you have built. The faith of God is to be dedicated to him. The faith of God is submission to him. The faith of God is believing in whatever he has revealed to anyone. Okay, this is faith of God. Deenullah. And in the Quran, several times Allah talks about Deenullah. This is religion of God. So this is Deenullah. This is Sibqatullah. If you follow this, we are the same. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا If they believe in the same thing, they are on the same footing. Isn't it? So let's don't categorize, let's don't sort of stereotype people. Sibqatullah is to believe in him, to dedicate him, to worship him purely, and to believe in whatever he has sent down to any messenger. This is our faith. If you believe in anything other than this, then of course you are not following the religion of God.
Any other brothers or sisters? Sheikh, from the time the Prophet declared Islam openly up to the time of the change of the Qibla, I don't know how long it was, but probably it may not have been enough time gap for the people have developed that much amount of faith, strong faith, to accept that change of Qibla. Because even for us, nowadays, we are going through that stages of developing faith, yeah. And sometimes
so
we are wavering.
Prophet waited 1,400 years. Because you see, even us don't have that strong faith, so how long should they have waited?
Yeah, so how long was it from the time he...
It was 17 months after migration. So it was enough time, actually, 17 months after migration. Now
1.5 years, about.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know, was it enough time given to the people to have developed that much faith to sort of not to argue and...
So, قُلْ أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهِ. You know better or God?
Obviously, God knows better,
yeah.
But from a human point of view...
We want to know the reasoning. Yeah. You know, people in Medina, they started to believe in the Prophet about 2 years before migration. And when the Prophet migrated, all of them were believers, actually. All of them. And even those who did not believe, they pretended faith. So they became hypocrites. And such a society with such a strong commitment would follow anything that Prophet would say, especially after the Prophet had come there, the tension between Aus and Khazraj had been settled, the community had been settled, and now it was time. Otherwise, when should had it happened? Because as time passed by, the Munafiqun became stronger, the arguments became more widespread. So that was, I think, a good time for change of Qibla.
Okay. Any brothers, sisters, anybody?
Assalamu alaikum. You mentioned that Sibghat Allah, in terms of baptism in Christianity, that it was symbolic to a certain extent, we can understand. And we too also have symbols like that in terms of shaving of hair and circumcision, which takes place well before a person becomes of maturity. But then you also went on to say that the reality is to follow the religion and to accept faith when you have come to the age of maturity. The problem I see is that we do not have that facility as such in Islam to say that you accept or you reject. Because if you do reject, you are out of fold. And if you are in an Islamic state, you'd be punished. It's different for a convert, somebody who has converted from another faith to Islam. He can revert back once at least. But for a child born in a Muslim house, there is no facility at all in terms of this. So, I mean, I don't know whether this is interpreters talking that this is the reality, because to me, when I read the verses of the Quran, that is not the idea I get. It is just basically saying that baptism of God is submission, not the idea of having, voluntarily accepting or rejecting.
Well, that's what the verse says, that baptism of Allah is to submit to Him, isn't it? If you submit to God, you are baptized, isn't it? It is the old idea, saying that the previous verses said that we submit to Allah, نَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, and this is baptism of Allah. However, this baptism is not something that people can give to each other. This baptism, because it's submission, people are only purified. Purification is different from social norms and laws or things like that. Of course, every child born in an Islamic, in a Muslim family is a Muslim. But it doesn't mean that they have this Sibghatullah. Sibghatullah will come later on when they purely accept, dedicate themselves to God, then this Sibghatullah comes. What the argument to against Christians here, if that is alluding to baptism, is that by washing a child with water, you do not make them Christians. You do not give them faith. You cannot purify them. Purification is something that people should have themselves. Yes, you make them socially, they will be Christians. Like Muslims born, we do circumcision and things like that. Socially, they are Muslims. However, are they Muslims in the eyes of God as well? They have to wait and see when they grow up, would they submit? They wouldn't submit. And this is something quite rational, I think. And the social norms, like, for example, punishment for someone who converts to another religion, whatever the ruling is there, these are social norms. This is, God is not talking about that. God is talking about the real religion in the heart.
Any other questions or clarification required? Sheikh, from the going back last week, I think in the discussion, one of the brother raised a question that at the time when Imam Zamana reappears, and with him will be the appearance of Prophet Isa as well. So I think you explained that Imam Zamana will be explaining faith more towards for those who are already Muslims, and Prophet Isa will be mainly explaining the faith or clarifying to Christians. But when the point came about the Jews, I don't remember
Jews
having...
Jews are only 14 million.
Yes, so because
very,
Prophet Isa was
they're
from...
They're not significant in terms of faith, in terms of having... You know, we have about 3 billion Muslims and Christians. So they have to be assimilated somehow.
Yeah, but so the Prophet Isa was also from a Jewish community.
Yes,
so,
of course.
So would he also not be...
No, the Jews rejected him at that time. What but happens at the end of the time, we don't know whether they would accept it or not. Yeah.
But perhaps he may be, he may suffice for the Jews as well at that time to explain what the Judaism is and how it is connected to the Christianity and Islam.
He tried it once. Maybe a second time he will success, inshallah.
Okay, any other... clarification, any other questions? Or it seems Nizar, no? Riaz? No? Thanks. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat. So we gather again next Sunday, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you.